your Bibles to the book of John. The book of John. Turn your phone on. Check into Facebook. Let the world know that you're worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church in Ogeechee Farms. Amen? Are you happy to be here this morning? Have you come this morning wanting to hear a word from God? Well, if you have, I hope you've come to the right place. I believe you have. So again, turn your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to be there shortly, the book of John, chapter 16. As I sat in my office this past week, and I got to thinking about the things that have taken place the last couple of weeks, I just started sitting and reflecting. Now, one of the things I was reflecting on is, and I know he wouldn't be upset with me saying this, David Greathouse got saved a couple weeks ago. That's Virgie's husband. And when he accepted Christ, I looked at him across my desk and I asked him, what took you so long? What took you so long? Church, for the life of me, I don't understand why people hold on. Try to, wait just a little bit longer. I might lose something. I might miss out on something. I don't know what it is, but people wait and wait and wait and wait. And listen to me, you don't understand what you're missing by not accepting Christ today. You really don't. So as I sat in my office and I thought about David, and the one question that kept coming up in my mind was the very same question that I asked him and prayed to receive when he were prayed to receive Jesus. Why have you waited so long to accept Jesus? Church, I believe there are people who walk through those doors on a weekly basis who have never truly accepted Jesus as their Savior. And if those people rightly evaluated their lives, they could tell you that they never have accepted Jesus. Our Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's a wonderful time for you to say, there you go. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Scripture also tells us that if we are a child of Christ, a new desire to be more like Christ takes root in our lives. And where we will never be perfect this side of heaven, except for my wife, this side of heaven, there is a desire to be better than we were yesterday. That should be a desire of our hearts. Things didn't go real well yesterday, but today I want to be better than I was yesterday. Scripture also tells us that the Holy Spirit of God was sent to us by Jesus himself to lead, guide, and direct our lives and to convict us of our sins. Church, this means when we do something that is scripturally wrong, the Holy Spirit tells us, and it hurts us to know that we hurt God. And we have a deep desire to never do what we've done again. Now, church, these are things that should be happening when we are saved. Okay? Things that should be happening when we are saved. If they're not, there's a red flag. You ought to be checking into it. But what is it? What is it that helps a person to be saved? And then that's what I kept thinking. Brother Ed, I just kept thinking, what is it? Because I really believe people sit in our congregation every single week who have never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. They're good people, and they have a head knowledge of Jesus, but they do not have a heart knowledge of Jesus. And when they die in that condition, 18 inches sends them to hell, and that's the distance between their head and their heart. What is it that helps a person take the step to accept Jesus at their personal as their personal Savior? I believe with everything that's in me that there are three main things that helped me to find Jesus. And those same three things will help you find Jesus. So this morning, if you're struggling with a family member, a friend, a child, a parent who has never accepted Christ as their personal Savior because they don't exhibit the characteristics that I talked about earlier, listen, what I'm preaching this morning might help you to lead them to Jesus. Oh, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. I can't do that. Yes, you are. Jesus created you not to be a spectator in the Christian faith. He created you to be a main participant in the Christian faith. Me? Yes, you. Every single one of you. From the tops of your head to the tips of your toes, God created you to be a witness for Him. And we'll get to that point here in a second. Now, as I start this message, three main things that helped me find Jesus. I first of all have to step back and evaluate who I was. And we all do. Now, we ought not dwell on who we were, but listen, there ought to be a time when, in your life, that you can say, this is who I was. Because if you can't say, this is who I was, you've never had a change, and you're always who you've always been. When you become a Christian, you change. There's a natural change. You want to change. You don't want to be the same person because you see certain things. So this morning, just for a few seconds, I want to just take a step back and I want to evaluate who I was. Now understand again that before I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was living life the way I thought was large. Ricky Tyre, I was living large. I thought that I had the world by the tail and I was going to go everywhere the world wanted to take me to go. And I was living large. I remember being ages 16 to 19. I had 2 to 3 jobs and people were calling my house. I didn't want them to. And they had to call the house because we didn't have cell phones back then. Hey, man, I wish we could go back to those days for just a few days, don't you? I had to call the house. And if you weren't home, guess what they did? They left a message. And we had these little things called answering machines. And they left a message. Nothing was too important that you couldn't wait until you got back to that message machine. Amen? Nothing. We all think we're important. We got to have our messages right now. All those were the good days. But people would call my house, wanting me to come and do side work for them. Man, I was living large. I had plenty of money as a teen. I loved girls. Amen. Right, guys? Hey, I mean, it's okay. Y'all can love girls. Not you, Griffin. You got one girl. Gary, it's all right for you to love girls. I loved girls, and I lived on Lake Wiley, Lakefront House. Girls love to lay out in the sun, so getting them to come over to the lake was not hard. I told her, when Amy and I started dating, I said, I live on the lake. She said, oh, really? I said, yeah. So she loved to come over to the lake and lay out. Now, my father would do anything worldly to boost me up. He would buy me things that he had no sense, buy me things that were not allowed to be had in the house by a 16 to a 19-year-old, okay? Parents, y'all do that? That's wrong. You should not do that. But my dad would do that. And I had complete access to the family ski boat and bass boat. And I had a paddle boat. Man, if it was on water, I could go. He was too cheap to buy a jet ski, though. He would not buy a jet ski. Now, there were 4 single eligible bachelors who worked in downtown Charlotte right next door to me. And they were my best friends growing up. Every single week, there was a house party on Lake Wiley. I don't know how the police didn't just camp out there. But I was there every single weekend. Church, I thought I was living life to the fullest, and it could not get any better than this. Now, understand, Jesus at this point in time in my life was nowhere on the radar. I was like, and I think there's a country song written called Living for the Weekend. Is there a country? There is? How do you know that? See there, golly. This message might be for you. No? But I was living for the weekend. I'd get up Monday morning at 5 o'clock and I'd go frame houses. I'd do anything. But I was living for the weekend. Living for 5 o'clock. Could not wait to get off at 5 o'clock because you know what people do when they get home at 5 o'clock. And they sit down, and living large, right? But I wasn't living for Jesus. Jesus was nowhere on the radar. Nowhere on the radar. Now, church, Scripture tells us that each of us, each and every one of us, listen, each of us have a day or a time in our life where we are visited by the Holy Spirit of God. All of us. Every single one of us. J. Harold Smith, former evangelist, Southern Baptist evangelist, called this a day of grace. And he would preach a message all over America called Don't Miss Your Day of Grace when the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to you. You see, on this day, you will have to make a decision to either keep living the way you are or allow Jesus to come into your life and start living in you, through you, with you, and for you. Now, when this day comes, now understand, you're minding your business just like I was. I was living large, thought I had the world by the tail. I am visited by the Holy Spirit of God, and listen, when that took place, I had to make one of two decisions. I'm going to keep living the way I'm living, or I'm going to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Now, two thoughts run through your mind as you stand face to face with the Holy Spirit on this day of grace. As He looks at you and reveals to you who you really are, what you really are, you have to stand face to face with two issues. Number one, how can life get any better than it is now? What do you really have to offer me, Jesus? And this is something that runs through your mind. I'm living great. I mean, how much better can... And this person is talking to me and they're saying, listen, you don't have Jesus. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. You don't have Jesus. And you're asking yourself this question to a person that you don't even know yet. How can it get any better? How can my life get better if I accept Jesus? You don't know. You don't have a clue. But listen to me. Listen, as my dad used to say, you can put it in your pipe and smoke it. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember your parents saying that? I was like, Dad, I don't smoke a pipe. But anyway, you can put it in your pipe and smoke it. Listen, life is better with Jesus. I'm telling you. Well, how is it better? I ain't ever going to get arrested for a DUI. I'm not going to get arrested for drug possession. I'm not going to accidentally get caught with a woman who has a record in my car in the front seat. Y'all watch Live PD. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Listen, I'm not going to get caught accidentally with something in my pocket that's not my pocket. This isn't even my pocket. That's not my car. It's the craziest thing, isn't it? I don't know how that got there. I didn't drop that on the ground, and it's right there beside your foot. None of that stuff is ever going to happen to me. Do you know why? Because I accepted Jesus into my life, and the Holy Spirit of God says, don't do that. Don't touch that. Don't smoke that. Don't hang out with that person. Listen, if you can do what you want, when you want, with whoever you want, you don't know the same Jesus I do, and you don't have the same peace of God that I have in my heart. Listen, there's an old spiritual song. I ain't going back. I'm not going back. Listen, Jesus has brought me too far to go back now. I wouldn't go back. Don't want to go back. So you ask yourself, how can it get any better? Listen, once you accept Jesus, if you go one step backwards, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. But the second thing you ask is this. What am I going to have to give up? Or what am I going to lose by accepting Jesus? We evaluate. Well, I'm going to have to give up this lifestyle and this. And, you know, this old Johnny, he's not a good guy. And when I tell him that I've accepted this, Jesus is my personal Savior, he's not going to be my friend anymore. And when I do this is going to happen. Listen to me. I've gone through the process, and there's people in this church this morning who will stand up and testify that they've gone through the process. It's worth it. It is absolutely worth it. Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. That buddy Johnny of yours who is your friend, I promise you, once you don't have anything to offer him or give him other than Jesus, he's gonna fly you to the next bus stop. He don't care nothing about you. All he wants is what you have to give him. On the other side, all Jesus wants to do is give you. He wants to give you life and hope and peace and eternity. All Johnny wants to do is give you a life of misery, because all he wants to do is hang out places he doesn't need and get drunk and get high. Listen, I wouldn't go back to that for nothing. Nothing. So what are you losing? Nothing. What do you have to gain? Everything. Listen, eternity. You gain eternity. I don't know about you, but I've gotten some bad news in my life. Any of y'all ever gotten bad news? I got some bad news driving home last night. I didn't like it. We all have bad news. But we all have good news, too. I like it when people call and give me good news. Amen, don't you? I don't know about you, but the thoughts of living with Jesus for all eternity, that's good news. I like, y'all know me, I like the air conditioning. I like it cold outside. When it snows, I walk around the house barefooted. I like cool, comfortable. I really do. I like that electric bill under $200. Call me crazy. Did y'all get y'all's snowy power bill yet? $292. in the middle of winter? Come on, man. I didn't even run it that much. I like the cool. Hey, listen. Hell. I don't want to go to hell. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going down there where the fire is continuously roaring. Scripture says that our bodies are salted. They never burn up. It's a constant pain of that first. Y'all know when you first touch something and it's hot and you jerk back? That's what you're living the rest of all eternity. Brother Kyle, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. You don't know what you're talking about. Listen, a reputable source told me about heaven. A reliable source told me about hell. You know who that reliable source is? Jesus. Jesus said, well, I don't believe hell's real. Well, you're going against the grain of what Jesus has to say. If Jesus says hell is real, you better put it in your pipe and smoke it. Hell is real. Now, let me tell you that these are real thoughts. What am I going to gain? What am I going to lose? What am I going to have to give up? These are real thoughts that and real concerns that enter the mind of a lost person. And as strange as they may sound to us who are truly saved today, these concerns are ones that have sent many people to hell. And they almost sent your pastor to hell. If it were not for three things that helped me find Jesus. These thoughts, these concerns, man, I'm gonna lose all my friends. I'm not going to get invited to any social engagements anymore. Hey, listen, you know, the church has social engagements three times a week and sometimes many more than that. It's called Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We fellowship three times a week. Listen, in your party world, you might have a party on Friday and Saturday night. And listen, those aren't really your friends. Listen, I can go up 995 northbound or southbound, eastbound, westbound, 16. I don't care where I am. My car can break down an hour and a half, 2 hours, 5 hours away from here, and I can pick up the phone and call somebody, first of all, who ain't drunk or high, to come help me and come pick me up. And listen to me, church, they will come and get me. You know why? This church is not just my church. They are my family. They're not just my friends. They are my brothers and my sisters. You can't get that in the world. You only get that through Jesus. Woo! Amen? We sing that old song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and that's not just a song, that's the truth. I didn't have any friends until I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. I was abandoned. They didn't want to listen to what the Christian Bible thumping. I wasn't even that. I was a novice. But they threw me to the wayside. They threw me to the sharks. I don't want nothing to do with that. And listen, what they really needed was everything that I was telling them. But they were blind. They couldn't see it. So let's look this morning at the three things that helped me find Jesus. And listen, if you pay close attention, I imagine these very same three things, if you're a Christian, help you to find Jesus. And listen to me, if you're sitting here this morning and you know that you're not a Christian, you might want to write it down and pay attention, because these are three things you need to be looking for as you need to find Jesus. Number one, the Holy Spirit of God helped me find Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God helped me find Jesus, church. Now understand that just as Scripture tells us that the devil, Satan, walks about this earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and it's seen in 1 Peter 5:8, so is the Holy Spirit of God roaming this earth, trying to convince lost man that he is indeed in need of a Savior. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit is the spirit and essence of God that has been here since the world began. He is the third person of the Trinity. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And whereas you may not understand that, the three of them have always been together. Go back to the book of Genesis, which we're studying on Sunday night. I invite you to come tonight. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are clearly seen in Genesis chapter 2, where it says, let's create, Genesis 1 and 2, well, let's create man in our image. That's exactly right. So the Holy Spirit of God, the third person in the Trinity, helped me to understand that I needed Jesus. Now, let's read John chapter 4. Excuse me, John chapter 16, starting in verse 7. To understand this in his work a little better. John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus said, nevertheless, now hold on a second. Jesus is saying this, not the Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, Church of God, Catholic Church. Jesus is saying this. It's a reliable source. And if Jesus says it, guess what we can do? We can believe it. That's exactly right. That's something else you can put in your pipe. All right, here we go. John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus says, nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven. He's getting ready to be crucified. Because if I don't go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of the world has been judged. Amen. You know what that means right there? Y'all pull your pen out. That means we win. We're victorious. That's another reason to be a Christian. Listen, if you know what this scripture says, Mr. White? Y'all get his. Listen, if you're not a Christian, you're a loser. You lose. You lose. You're gonna lose. Because the ruler of the world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, Jesus says, but you can't bear them all right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything, listen, everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. Now, the scripture we just read today tells us exactly what the Holy Spirit does when he comes to you on your day of grace. Remember I told you a few minutes ago, we all have a day of grace where the Holy Spirit comes and reveals himself to us, all of us. And remember, Dr. J. Harold Smith preached the message, don't sin away your day of grace. It's quite possible. Do you know how many times the Holy Spirit of God, listen to it again, the Holy Spirit of God, do you know how many times he is obligated to come and to speak to your heart? One time. Do we deserve anything more than that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The scripture we just read tells us exactly what the Holy Spirit of God does when he comes on his day of grace. Number one, the scripture we just read tells us that he convicts the world about sin. He convicts the world about sin. What that means is there's a day of reckoning coming. I love all people, but there's some people I just don't understand. Y'all with me? I love all people, but there's just some people I don't understand. Brother Frank, I don't understand these millennials. I don't. And I live with some of them. Some of them are children. And not all of them. I'm not going to blanket all of them. Tony, look at me. I'm not saying all. You help me, brother. If they come after me after church, you stand up and help me, all right? You testify. I'm not saying all. But this is a prevalent phrase you hear from the millennial generation. It's not my fault. I don't have a job. It ain't my fault. There ain't any jobs. Well, there are more jobs now than there were when I was your age. Really were. I grew up during the economic crisis of the 80s where the housing market just completely was destroyed. And my dad sold real estate. It was a fun time in the Waddell house. It really was. We didn't have oodles of noodles. What are those noodles called? We didn't have ramen noodles. We had the bowl in the house, the pot in the refrigerator. And you know what was in the pot? Everything we ate Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday went in the pot, and we ate the pot on Friday. And sometimes the pot was good, sometimes the pot was bad. Well, these millennials have, it's not my fault. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit of God is coming to convict the world of sin. And what that means is when you stand before, did I say if? When you stand before God, and Scripture says that's going to happen. Every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. Listen, you will stand before my Jesus. And that both gives me fear and great solace. It gives me fear because people take it so callously. Well, you know, I'm a good person. That doesn't mean a thing. There's many people who are good people who died and went to hell. It scares me because you're going to stand before Jesus and say this: I didn't know. I didn't know that this was bad. I didn't know that this was wrong. I didn't know. There's a whole generation, Mitchell Taylor, that listens and says this: I didn't know. And I don't know what about you. I mean, you just want to smack them sometime. And you can't. Because the laws are such a way, you can't even touch anybody anymore. When I was in grade school, if I messed up, they didn't ask if they could paddle me. They said, "Mr. Waddell, please walk over and assume the position." Every teacher had a chair with arms on it underneath the American flag. And they would wear you out. This past week, Amy and I were driving, and she said, "You're not going to believe this." And I said, "What?" And I said, she said, "A teacher put tape on the mouth of a kid because it wouldn't be quiet, and they've charged her." And I'm thinking, well, you know, what kind of tape was it? I mean, scotch tape, okay, you know, just shh, be quiet. Listen, I told you to be quiet. Just here, put this tape on your mouth, right here. It'll help you be quiet. Now, if it's duct tape or that Gorilla tape, that might have been too far. All right? And Steve, you know, I can just a little bit of tape, you know, right here. I'm okay with that. But, you know, I've been in some of these classrooms with some of these teachers, one of which was my wife, and those teachers don't want to just put this. They want to get that Gorilla tape and wrap it around a couple times. You know, be quiet. I don't know where I was going with that, but it was a good point. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. That means through Him we know what's right and what's wrong. Amen? The second thing what happens is the Scripture tells us that He convicts the world about righteousness. Not only do I know what's wrong, I know what's right. Does that paint a picture for you of the world today? You look at the scene of America and the politics in our world. Listen, they're calling wrong right and wrong right wrong. Listen, there's parts of the world that we don't even know what bathroom to go into. Are you kidding me, man? Listen, if you have male parts, if you were born with male parts, you need to go to the man's bathroom. If you were born with female parts, you need to go to a female bathroom. And if you're confused about whether you have male or female parts, go to the family bathroom. Holy moly. You see, the Holy Spirit convicts and tells us what's wrong, but it tells us what's right as well. About righteousness. Do you know who is right? You know who the most perfect person in this world was? I didn't know this before I accepted Jesus. You know who it is? Jesus. Do you know who's right? Jesus. Do you know who's never wrong? Jesus. Brother Kyle, this is a multiple answer test. What do you call them? Multiple choice. And listen, Jesus is in there. Jesus is the answer every time. But He does something else. The Holy Spirit convicts the world about judgment. When He came face to face with me, I realized that one day, and I didn't know when it was going to be, I was going to have a pop test, a close encounter of the third kind with Jesus. and I was going to have to answer for what was right and for what was wrong, what I did and what I didn't do, whether I accepted him or not. A day of judgment was coming. Just as there is a day of judgment coming for this world, and it's coming quicker than I can even tell you, listen, there is a personal day of judgment coming for you personally. Your mama ain't going to be there. Your daddy ain't going to be there. As I've told you in times past, I witnessed to this older lady one time, and she said, "Don't worry about me. My granddaddy was a Methodist preacher. I'm good." No, you're not, unless you personally have accepted Christ. You personally have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. According to Scripture, you're not saved. Well, that's your opinion. No, it's not. That's Jesus' opinion, and he is a viable authority. Amen? So he convicts the world about judgment. Church, I had no clue I was living a life full of sin. I had no clue how righteous Jesus was and how unrighteous I was. I had no clue a day of judgment was coming, and I was not prepared in the least. But church, the Holy Spirit of God told me all these things. And I realized quickly, Brother Gary Page, you're in trouble, son. You're in trouble. I came face to face with a grim reality that I was not prepared to meet this Jesus that I didn't know. But it gets better. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 in John chapter 16 says this: "The Holy Spirit, he will glorify me." Well, who's me? Jesus. This scripture says he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. Now, this ought to erase any questions that you have in your mind about any movement or about any denomination that glorifies the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not glorify the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, and that's it. If the Holy Spirit is not pointing people to Jesus, it is heresy. Do you hear me? Now, he says, he will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. He'll take what is mine and declare it to you. Church, the Holy Spirit of God led me to the Word of God and showed me the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I sat in church for almost a year, feeling the glory and majesty of God, yet would not yield to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit of God, thank the Lord, didn't give up on me. How many times is he obligated to speak to my heart? One time. But he's a part of the Trinity. And the Trinity is all about mercy and grace. And he never gave up on me. Never gave up on me. Listen, when I was living a lie, when I was living for myself, when I was a drunk, and I mean, when I was an alcoholic, when I was a liar, a thief, he never gave up on me. Never gave up on me. So first we have the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God helped me to see Jesus. Number two, and number two and three are going to go, so y'all pay attention. Church, the Word of God helped me to find Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God helped me find Jesus, and the Word of God helped me find Jesus. As I said a few minutes ago, I sat in church beside Amy, my wife now, for almost a year, listening while her grandfather, my first preacher, rightly divided the Word of God. I truly to this day do not know how in the world that man did all he did with the limited technology of his day. He would preach every message like it could be his last, knowing that there could be a lost person sitting in the congregation. The Word of God pierced through and penetrated my heart, and I had no clue. Church, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 16 says this: "For the Word of God is living and effective." You know what that means? You can pick this Bible up and put it to your ear, and it's got a heartbeat. It's living. It's living. It's living. If you close the Bible and put your ear up to it, it screams, "Return! Come to me! I am the Lord God!" If you listen to the Old Testament, it says, "Return to me! Come back to me!" If you listen to the New Testament, it says, "Follow me!" Follow who? Follow Jesus. It's alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 16 says this: the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating, that's makairos. Makairos. Makairos is a scalpel. It's sharper than a scalpel. Penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, who is Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at a proper time. Church, the Holy Spirit of God helped me find Jesus. And as I opened the Word of God, once the Holy Spirit started dealing with me, and whereas I couldn't read it and understand it in times past, guess what? Something happened. It started making a little bit of sense to me. And listen, if you're here this morning and you're lost and you know you're lost, we're getting ready to give an invitation. You can accept Jesus as your personal Savior today. Today, Scripture says, let today be the day of your salvation. But if you put your hand up and you say, not today, Jesus, not today, Holy Spirit, I'm not doing it today. Listen, you need to get in the Word of God and pray that God will open your eyes that you might be able to experience this, what I just talked about. The Holy Spirit will open your heart to the Word of God. The Word of God helped me find Jesus, because Jesus is real and alive in the Bible. But there's something else. I'm just about done. Listen, I've got just this last little bit right here, and I'm going to read the conclusion, so y'all pay attention to me, all right? The Holy Spirit of God helped me find Jesus. The Word of God solidified everything the Holy Spirit said about God and helped me to find Jesus. But there's something else that helped me find Jesus. A man of God helped me find Jesus. Now, we got a problem here, because the Holy Spirit of God never sits down on God. Holy Spirit's always serving God to give glory to God. The Bible is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, Brother Frank. It never sleeps. It's always at your disposal to find Jesus. Always. It never sleeps. But then, Brother Ricky Tyre, we come to this third element. The Holy Spirit showed me I needed Jesus. The Word of God solidified it, but then a man of God had to show me how to find Jesus. Where are these men of God at today? Women of God? Where are they? Listen, I'm going to prove it to you. Listen to me. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says this: Then Jesus came near and said to them, now hold on a second, if Jesus says it, we need to believe it, right? Put it in our pipe and smoke it, right? Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the earth. Jesus didn't ask you to do that. He told you to do that. I needed the Holy Spirit to reveal to me that I was lost. I needed the Word of God to confirm what the Holy Spirit was saying. Little did I know, I was waiting for a man of God to come talk to me about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God and lead me to Jesus, the Son of God. I was waiting. Kenny Jacobs, and for a year, I sat at Calvary Baptist Church in Rock Hill, South Carolina, beside a good-looking girl, listening to the Word of God preaching. It was penetrating my heart, but there was nobody who came to me and said, "Do you know Jesus?" Every Thursday night, they had, listen, every Thursday night, they didn't have care ministry, they had visitation. And when they went out on visitation, listen, they went on visitation, they knocked on doors, and they told people about Jesus. They tell people, you know, "We're glad that you came to church, blah, 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 but listen, that's not why we're here. We're glad that you came to the church. Well, I want to ask you, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know that you need Him?" For a year, I was never asked that question. For a year. But then somebody did. Look at Acts chapter 1. Just about done. And y'all know where I'm going with this. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this: "But you will receive power." Who's that? Who is you? You is you. It's not me. It is me, but it's you. You is you, and you is me. That's all us. Listen to it again. And it's red. Well, hold on a second. It's red. What does that mean? Jesus said it. That's a reliable source. Jesus says this. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." You know what that means? You'll be a witness for Jesus everywhere you go. You, Christian. You see, the Holy Spirit had visited me. The Word of God had visited me and convicted me, just as the Holy Spirit did. And I was sitting waiting. And on January 19th of 1989, a man of God looked at me and he said, "Listen, do you know Jesus? Do you know if you died today whether you'd go to heaven or hell?" And I said, "Yeah, I know the life that I'm living. I'd go to hell." You know who told me that? It wasn't him. I was ready for the question to be asked, church. Listen, I knew because the Holy Spirit of God had visited me and told me, because He convicts the world of sin and shows us righteousness and judgment. He'd already judged me and I'd been found guilty. The Word of God confirmed what the Holy Spirit had said. Listen, I need Jesus. All I needed was somebody to come and show me how to find this Jesus. And luckily, some man did. So the three things that I had to find Jesus was the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, and a man of God. Holy Spirit doesn't sit down, doesn't stop, doesn't retire, doesn't give up. Neither does the Word of God. But then we come to this third entity. Where are the men of God? The two scriptures that I read to you in Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1, listen, you are called to be a witness, and a witness you should be. Listen to me, just as a lost person is going to stand before God and give answer for what he has and has not done, and it seems silly to us as Christians, they're going to stand, the millennials are going to stand and say, I didn't know. There's going to be Christians who have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, and he's going to say, "Listen, why weren't you a witness for me?" And they're going to say, I didn't know I was supposed to be. That is a lie out of the pits of hell. Listen, if the same Jesus is in you that's in me, you can't help but be a witness. He changed your life. He made you something new. It's got, if it's in there, it's got to come out. "Well, Brother Kyle, I'm just not made that way." Well, what you just said is totally against what the Word of God says. Now, you might not have been born that way, but if you accepted Jesus, He made you that way. He is continually making you that way. And whereas you might not have been bold when you first accepted Christ as your personal Savior, your boldness radar and your detector ought to be going off as you get older. The more you're in the Word of God and the more you're on your knees with God, listen, the more bolder you're going to be out in the world giving your testimony for God. Is that your opinion, Brother Kyle? No. That's factual. I mean, I've seen it happen time and time and time again. Listen, you can walk around this church and meet people in this church, in every church, and you don't have to be around them too long to find out how much Jesus is in them. Now, they're all Christians. But how much Jesus is in them, how much the Word of God's in them, how much they're out in the world testifying about Jesus. Listen, this is an overflow. Your life is an overflow of what you experience in your quiet time with Jesus. How much time you spend in the Word of God and on your knees with God is an overflow outside in your witness field. Church, how does this message apply to me? This morning I hope and pray that you've seen that the Holy Spirit has a job to do with man's salvation. I hope that you have seen that the Word of God has a job to do with man's salvation. And I hope and pray that you have seen that Christians have a job to do with man's salvation. God didn't create you to keep you silent. God created you to make you dangerous to the enemy. Are you doing the job that God created you to do? Let's all stand, head bowed and eyes closed. Father, my first concern and my prayer request to you this morning is this. If there be a one, and I believe there is, you wouldn't have put this message on my heart unless there is somebody here this morning today. And God, I this isn't a cocked message. I didn't know who was going to be here this morning, but you did. From the foundation of the earth, you knew who was going to be here this morning. And Lord, if there's somebody here who's never accepted you, they're a good person, God, but they've never trusted you. They've never accepted you as their personal Savior. I pray that this during this time of invitation, they'll come down, walk down this aisle, and let me show them what Scripture says all of us must do to be born again. But Lord, I know this church. Lord, this is the church you've given me to pastor. And Lord, I know there's those today that they're Christians, and they're good Christians, and they're good people. But they're not living the way you created them to live. God, I pray that you would give them the boldness to come down here and kneel before you at this altar. Ask you to forgive them of their sins. And God, I pray that they would pray to ask you to give them boldness to be what you created them to be. Lord, this is your time of invitation. Let your Spirit move as it's moved during this service. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?